During last night's presidential debate between President Trump and Joe Biden, moderator Chris Wallace of Fox News struggled to maintain order in the face of near constant interruptions from Trump. Here's Wallace calling for a reset of the debate midway through.
I think that the country would be better served if we allowed both people to speak with fewer interruptions. I'm appealing to you, sir, to do that.
Well, and him too.
Well, frankly, you've been doing more interrupting
than he
has.
Well, that's all right, but he does plenty.
Well, less than, sir, less than,
plenty.
No, less than you have. Let's please continue on.
Joining us now is NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. David, Chris Wallace said before this debate that he wanted to be as invisible as possible as a moderator. We just heard that did not work by any stretch of the imagination. What did you think of his approach last night?
I think that Chris Wallace is one of the more accomplished and tough-minded interviewers, an extremely experienced moderator, and yet, by the same token, wildly outmatched by the bulldozer-in-chief that was President Trump up on that stage. He did appeal, as he said there. There were a couple points where he said the president needed to let Joe Biden speak. There are other points where he basically said, please let me just get through my question. It's going to be one you want to answer on a subject you want to talk about, sort of pleading for calm in a way, as Nicole Wallace, no relation of MSNBC, pointed out after the debate, was almost like appeasing kind of an emotionally abusive relative at a holiday dinner. You know, this was not a symmetrical performance or debate. And Wallace, you know, a very straight ahead reporter and journalist who I think tries to be incredibly fair minded, even at Fox News, not necessarily always known for that, nonetheless, you know, was unable to step beyond that to find a way to corral the president in this. And it just was one of the most disruptive and disheartening civic events we've seen in a presidential race in many, many, many years.
I mean, it may have been the hardest assignment of his career, and it's easy to cast stones in that position, but could anyone have done it better, David? I mean, what else could Chris Wallace have done to rein in, as you say, the bulldozer in chief?
Hard to know who could have done it better. I do think that partly Wallace was constrained by an image of himself as being fair-minded, you know, and unwilling to step beyond that. You know, you might have seen what would have happened with a question and say, Mr. President, why aren't you willing to allow the voters to actually hear what you and the former vice president have to say? Why are you violating the rules that you and your campaign agreed to set up this very event? And just sort of address that as a question. You know, it's a meta question that nonetheless might force the president to pause and answer. Probably wouldn't. But you'd at least have that on the record there. You know, Jim Lehrer, who has moderated a lot of these debates, the former and now retired PBS host, did so very evenly. He once wrote a novel about what it would be if two debate moderators decide to hijack the format in order to hone in on a candidate who actually proved to be a criminal. And you know, there are ways in which you kind of have to think unconventionally, and I think given the rules that Wallace himself agreed to, it would have been very hard for almost anyone to take command of it. He didn't, for example, as many people ask, have the ability to cut off the microphone of one of the candidates to let the other to speak. Right. Neither he nor his producers. And you've just heard this afternoon, shortly before you and I started to speak now, that the Commission on Presidential Debates has come out and said, we're going to have to review some of our policies and rules to make for a better public discourse on this.
Nor did Wallace serve as a fact checker, which he warned people about ahead of time that he wasn't going to do that. Was it a mistake?
You know, he did do it more than you might have thought from his public pronouncements. He just made clear that wasn't going to be his role to pick apart things and to be prosecutorial. There were moments, for example, on healthcare where he simply rejected the president's untrue assertions, false assertions, that the president had made major policy changes and recommendations that would replace Obamacare. The president simply hasn't, although he's been in office for years, and Wallace held him to that. But he didn't do it a lot. That might have been a good thing to do, but, you know, Trump tried to turn this at the outset a bit into a debate between him and Wallace, just as he did at the first primary debate in August of 2015 in the Republican field when he started to soar, and he turned it against Wallace, but more his then-colleague Megyn Kelly of Fox News. He attempted to do that, and I think Wallace didn't want to be caught in that bind.
Here we are in the middle of a devastating pandemic, a lot of issues. I mean, a lot of issues in this country that could have been discussed in depth. It didn't really happen. But does that mean it was a waste, David? Did this serve voters or viewers in any way, to your mind?
I think the case can be made that, you know, you were able to understand the tenor and the nature and to some degree the character of the candidates by the way in which they approached this debate, that they revealed themselves in this cauldron of impatience and anger. You know, Joe Biden called the sitting president of the United States a clown, and in any other debate performance, that would have essentially been front page news. I still remember 20 years ago, then Vice President Al Gore's size two or three times during a debate with George W. Bush was seen as intemperate and unpresidential, and it got a lot of headlines. You know, Biden calling President Trump a clown would have been that wasn't even among the top 17 things to report on in this debate. So
told him to shut up at one point.
That's
amazing,
right.
So amazing night. David, I got to cut you off right there, but thank you very much. David Folkenflik, NPR's media correspondent.